background, I've mostly done file system work in recent years, but I've done some other kernel stuff before. So let's start by discussing why it is we're building this thing to begin with. The company I work for, Versity, we provide a software stack that helps people manage some of the biggest archives in the world, and it's an interesting space to be in. We're going to focus on a POSIX file system here, but we need to talk about how this file system's used to understand what NGINFS is trying to do, because these file systems are very weird. So the general idea is that they treat this whole software stack as sort of an archive that's after their main large data stores, right? This is where all the files go to just sit at idle, mostly. There's a lot of motion in and out. But I've tried to lay out the sort of workflow here that shows why these file systems become a challenge. So the general model is they'll use the POSIX file system as just a buffer for files that are going into and out of this archive media that's very irritating to work with. So they'll have a lot of files they want to archive, and they'll dump it all into the POSIX file system, which acts as sort of a cache. And they'll do this in these big batches. What's interesting is that, you know, the files accumulate in the POSIX file system, what we're going to be talking about. And they sit there, and they sort of, there's a policy engine that will look at all those files and say, okay, these have all arrived. Where do they go? We'll put them off on these tapes. We'll talk about tape. Or we'll put them off on these object stores or whatever. But what's interesting for this file system is that once the file data has been put off on the archive, we truncate all the file contents. It has a slightly different meaning here. I've put this little offline flag here. If there are file system people here, when you have unwritten extents, there's no file data, but there's a logical block allocated. We do the same thing, except that marking on the extent of the data block says, I have this on an archive, but it's not here in this file system cache. All that's to say that the data at rest, there's no file contents. This is a file system with billions and billions of files with no data. It's just the metadata. And that's mostly what makes these systems so weird. But so to go through this archive flow, they'll dump all the files in this POSIX file system, you know, through rsync or NFS or Samba or whatever. They have their own homegrown data motion scripts or whatever. Our little archive agent will go and get all those files, read them again, write them off to the archive, and now they're at rest. And then when they later want to recall them, they'll try and fetch them from the POSIX file system again via whatever means. And the kernel sees that the extents are offline, and it goes and asks the archive agent to go get it from the archive, and it brings it over, writes it into the file system, and then the reads are satisfied, and off it goes out through the services. So the data has this flow in and out of the system, and we have a bunch of tasks reading and writing out all the time, and all these little files sometimes. And then we have our software agent that's behind the scenes also messing around with files. And what we're to understand from all this is that we can have very weird access patterns that are, you know, defined by the site's access patterns. And then we also have our little archive agent walking all the metadata. So we have a lot of opportunities for contention and for reads and writes to land on each other and a lot of things. And that's what the talk is mostly going to talk about, that how NGINFS addresses that problem. After those two workflow topics here, we're describing the environment just to give you an idea. Very big namespaces. That's another part of how these systems are interesting. The reason this thing is multi-node is because these archive tiers are big enough that they have to have a lot of nodes to get aggregate bandwidth to it. These two charming photos on the right, that's the same manufacturer. It's the same drive. The top one has an awesome glamour shot, right? The bottom one is one of us walking to a data center and taking a photo with a phone. It's the exact same thing. Those are racks and racks of tape drives and robots and actual cartridges. Often, these are a challenge because that little third bullet there, drives are not uniformly accessible from any node. And this gets to the contention problem again. We can have files arrive on one node for whatever reason, but they need to be read from a different node because they have to be written to a specific tape drive because the policy engine said it has to be in this set of tapes. It means we don't have. This is where the multi-node sort of coherent POSIX namespace comes from. The services need to be able to read and write from any node, and our little archive agent has to be able to read and write from any node because files have to flow through specific nodes to get to some archive EDF sometimes. And I just threw in a little example there is that's operational in the field. It's this class of machine, you know, a bunch of network out the top, a bunch of, well, the storage fabric in this example is InfiniBand, but that's a thing. And then a bunch of fiber channel for the tape drives. This is what's deployed today to give you an idea of the scale of the thing. So the billions of files in particular, sometimes we have, you need to do operations on a lot of those files, and doing anything a billion times is really